Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, March 11, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, over the weekend, we had a couple big things happen. Normally, we make a bigger deal out of this than we did this time. But on Saturday, March 9th, we had the official 8th anniversary of Today on Broadway. Normally, James and I do an episode together on the anniversary, but it was on a Saturday, so we did not do that. So 8 years of doing the show. Our first episode was March 9th of 2016. I cannot believe that. But that happened over the weekend. So thank you, everybody, for listening. If you've been a listener from the beginning, I'm sorry that you've had to put up with me for this long. But we do appreciate all the support. Also in the feed, we had the latest episode of Jan Simpson's All the Drama, in which she interviewed Brian Yorkie, one of the writers behind the Pulitzer Prize winner Next to Normal. So you can check that out in the feed. Of course, if you want to hear everything before, you can hear it anywhere else. Head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. All right, Grace, since the last time we did an episode, we have two shows open that I want to hit really quickly. We're not going to do a huge deep dive into these since they did happen before the weekend. And if you were super interested, I assume you've already seen them, but we will have links, of course, in the show notes to where you can read these reviews that I discuss and more. But the first one was on Broadway on Thursday night when the Broadway revival of Doubt officially opened at the Todd Haymes Theater. This is from the Roundabout Theater Company, and it's currently scheduled to run through April 21st, directed by Scott Ellis. This is a Tony and Pulitzer Prize winning play by John Patrick Shanley. In this revival, it stars Liev Schreiber, Quincy Tyler Bernstein, Zoe Kazan, and Amy Ryan, who stepped in the middle of previews for the previously announced Tyne Daly, who had to exit the production because of a health-related issue. Over at the review aggregator site, Did They Like It, they collected 13 reviews. 10 were positive, 2 were mixed, and 1 was negative. Again, just going to give you little snapshots of these. You can read all of them in the Did They Like It review roundup. But Jesse Green of the New York Times was positive and the show was a critic's pick. He said, quote, "But John Patrick Shanley's Doubt, a Parable, first seen on Broadway in 2005, is much more than that. It is a sturdy melodrama, an infallible crowd pleaser, a detective yarn, a character study, and an inquest into the unknowable." My favorite reviewer, and the one I always check out first, is Sarah Holdren. She did quite a bit of talking about how this production does not seem to really make the most out of Shanley's writing and acerbic wit. And she does say that could be possibly because Amy Ryan is still kind of getting her feet wet with the character. She did not have the normal prep time you would for a character. But her review in short says, quote, "It's the packaging part that hits hollowly. In and of itself, Doubt is still a sharp and sturdy piece of writing. It's also tonally broader than Ellis gives it credit for." The one negative review came from Brittany Samuel from Broadway News, who said, quote, "Perhaps with more time for Ryan to settle into the habit, I could write a very different review. But until then, this play about faith will continue to commit the ultimate theatrical sin. Boredom." Adam Feldman of Time Out New York gave the show 4 out of 5 stars. Johnny Oleksinski, who I don't necessarily love, but writing for the New York Post, he did say something that I think gets to the heart of it. He said, "Still, you could do worse than attend a merely adequate production of one of the best plays of the millennium. So even if this production doesn't seem to be hitting on all cylinders, Grace, it is still a great show and one that hopefully will grow with time as Amy Ryan becomes more comfortable in the role of Sister Aloysius."
Yeah, I think that if people have just decided that they like Doubt, then they're going to go and probably like this production. If they've never been interested in it before, like, we've seen the movie, we've seen other people do this show, and they might go, yeah, okay. But I think that for people that maybe haven't had all of those experiences with the material, it is a great play. Like, it really is. So I think it's also wild that we have two John Patrick Shanleys in Midtown at the same time. Yeah, it's cool. But I've been excited. And once again, the fact that Amy Ryan is on Broadway the same time as Steve Carell is. but this is great that she is having warmth, as she should, especially for the fact that she stepped in so late.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to see this when I'm in town in April, which should hopefully give her plenty of time to settle into the role. All right, the other show that we are going to run through the reviews on is Ellen Noyes, which is currently playing at the Park Avenue Armory through March 26th. As we discussed, this is kind of a dance theater piece. I don't even know if I would call it a musical, but it's a dance theater piece. There were some connections that people made to the Twyla Tharp dance musicals that she did on Broadway, you know, a few decades ago, things like Moving Out and all of that stuff.
Come Fly Away.
Come Fly Away.
Come Fly With Me, sorry.
Come Fly With Me. Yeah, they had to change the name because of like lyrics rights or something. Anyway, the Twyla Tharp shows. This is based on the Sufjan Stevens album called Illinois. This is Illinois. It is directed and choreographed and conceived and the book is co-written by Justin Peck. He is joined by Jackie Siblis Drury writing the book. And I mentioned this last week, Grace, like I think there's a chance for this to continue to move to somewhere closer to Midtown. And it does seem like the reviews so far would at least be in favor of that, as Jesse Green also made this show a New York Times critics pick, writing, quote, "Mostly, Illinois makes me wonder why so many musicals, even those that feature dance heavily, are so lead-footed in their storytelling conventions. Illinois instead builds on its faith in the audience, trusting us to organize its various streams of information into a steady river of deep feeling inside our own heads. Or, if you wind up crying, as I did, outside." Frank Scheck, writing for New York Stage Review, said, quote, "There have been many dance theater pieces inspired by pop artists, but few carry the sweeping emotional heft of Illinois. Justin Peck's dance production, based on Sufjan Stevens' critically acclaimed 2005 album, is now receiving its New York City premiere at the Park Avenue Armory after buzzy runs at the Fisher Center at Bard and the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. If the rapturous audience response for its limited engagement is any indication, this won't be its last stop." There's some houses open this summer, Grace. I don't know that I would think moving this directly in the summer is the best move, especially if they're going to put it in one of the bigger houses that's available this summer. But I have not heard anybody not have great things to say about this show. Some of the other reviews were saying that, like, that subtlety that Jesse Green mentioned, like, it ebbs and flows, like, some things are a little bit more on the nose, which can be a little annoying, but I really want to see it. It's not going to be running when I'm in town, so I'm really hoping I get an opportunity to see it sometime with this company, especially because I love so many of these dancers in the fairly near future.
I agree. I want to see it. I know our dear friend Ashley Hufford went to Chicago just to see it. So I'm so curious, and I've heard that it's just beautiful. So I want to go, but those tickets are hard to get.
Well, maybe that bodes well for potential Broadway transfer, so we will have to wait and see. Speaking of something that might make tickets harder to get, Chicago can the show, not the city that we were just talking about, Chicago continues to kill it, as they have announced that Tony nominee Robin Herder will be joining the production of Chicago as Velma Kelly on March 26th. She had previously been in the show as Mona, and she had also covered the role of Roxy. She is going to be stepping back into the show at the Ambassador Theater through June 16th. This is a cast that for a couple weeks will also include Ariana Maddox, but also has Max von Essen, Lily Thomas, Red Concepcione, and R. Lowe. I think this is just another knock it out of the park kind of thing. Robin was originally in Chicago in 2007. She returned in 2017, but like to be able to see her to go back to that show is very, very cool. And I think a lot of Herder heads will be showing up at the Ambassador to check this out.
Oh, there's no question. Chicago, you're doing it. You're really doing
it
right.
They really are.
The girlies are coming out. Like, they're coming out. Since Jinx Monsoon, at least, they've been churning it up. So good for y'all.
All right, Grace, I'm going to run through this week's theatrical schedule. I am not going to get into much of these at all because there is a number of them. So I will just point you to the show notes where you can get the links to every show that we talk about here. But I'm just going to breeze through them fairly quickly. It starts tonight at Lincoln Center Theater with the off-Broadway opening of the new play Corruption by J.T. Rogers. It is directed by Bartlett Shear and is based on the book Dial M for Murdoch, News Corporation, and the Corruption of Britain. This details the phone hacking scandal that engulfed Rupert Murdoch's media empire about a decade and a half ago. J.T. Rogers, Bartlett Shear working together, certainly something to keep an eye on. Then on Tuesday, we have the Off-Broadway opening over at Playwrights Horizons for the new musical Teeth that is written by Anna K. Jacobs and Michael R. Jackson, choreographed by Roger Feather Kelly and directed by Sarah Benton. It is based on the screenplay of the same name. This one is currently running through April 14th. Grace, I know you saw it over the weekend. You obviously can't talk about it, but this one is just so campy and so insane that I haven't seen it, so I don't know much about it, but I cannot wait to hear what these reviews are, because I'm sure that they are going to be absolutely wild. Another Off-Broadway opening happening on Wednesday, March 13th, is happening over at The Shed. And this is of Lucy Prebble's play, The Effect. And this one, it just seems absolutely fascinating to me. It is an 11-year-old show that apparently kind of takes a different spin on drug trials and makes it very modern. It's another show between this and Here We Are, where The Shed is really starting to make a name for itself with Off-Broadway productions. Of course, this is directed by Jamie Lloyd, so anytime that he is doing something in New York City, I feel like it is something that we want to see. It is currently scheduled to run through March 31st, hoping for an extension so I can check that one out. Then, Grace, on Thursday, I'm going to pause on this one. We have the Broadway opening of The Notebook. And this one is playing over at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. We've talked about this one quite a bit. I've talked about it, so you know everything about The Notebook. But Grace, you saw it last week, and you posted about it on social media, and it is something that has kind of blown up a little bit. So I think we should probably discuss your experience seeing the show. You cannot yet discuss the show itself, but we need to talk about what happened while you were there.
Yeah, so obviously I'm seeing it for press area. And about 10 minutes into the show, again, not talking about the show at all, 10 minutes into the show, if you all are familiar with The Notebook, the casting of the six performers that play Allie and Noah are two Black women and then a white woman playing older Allie. And then there are two white men that are playing Noah, and then older Noah is played by a Black man. What's wild is that the woman in front of me, who was, I'm going to assume, but I shouldn't, a wealthy white woman of a certain age, threw her hands in the air and looked at her husband and said, "They're Black and then they're white. It doesn't make sense. It's disgusting." And she kept going on and on to him. And he was like, "I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what you want me to do." And she sunk into her chair and pouted. And for the next 45 minutes, the rest of Act One, she was on her phone. And I have ADHD, so I was very distracted by the glow of her phone. Constantly, I watched her buy shoes on Revolve. I watched her learn how to make a latte. She was scrolling through Instagram reels like it was her job. And then she was checking her texts and then sending these long, lengthy texts. And I don't know if it was about the show or what, but she was on her phone the entire time, not filming, but doing something. I was in the middle of my row. So a lot of people, because I've shared this story on Twitter, have said, "Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you?" First of all, I'm non-confrontational. Yeah. And like, I don't want to cause a scene. And so I knew that if they did not get up at intermission, I was going to try to find a staff member to say something. And then they left like a premium orchestra seat, like two seats.
Yeah.
It was just such a bad experience. And unfortunately, I was distracted. But yeah, it just sucked. And so a lot of people have chimed in on the internet. So if you follow me on Twitter, like you've probably seen a lot of people have chimed in on this. And I just wanted to say that, like, unfortunately, there was just no way to try to make something happen. And also, what do you do? Like, everyone's like, "Oh, I would have done that." And I'm like, "I'm sure you would have." Like, I'm sitting here trying to watch a Broadway show on a Friday night. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's really awful. I mean, awful that the people, you and everybody else around this woman, had to be impacted by that. But also, that person is just awful. That's a horrible person. And that's a person that is racist and also completely insensitive to the experience and the needs of the people around her, which tells you everything you need to know about that person. All right, let's get back into the rest of the schedule. Previews begin on Saturday, March 16th. At the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater for the new musical version of The Outsiders, based on the S.E. Hinton novel of the same name and the Francis Ford Coppola film as well. It is directed by Dania Taymor and features a book by Adam Rapp and Justin Levine, music by Jamestown Revival and Levine as well. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that one much, much more as we go. Also beginning previews off-Broadway from Irish Rep will be Brian Friel's Philadelphia Here I Come. In closing on Saturday, kind of, will be Eddie Izzard's one-person Hamlet at the Greenwich House Theater. It will then move to the Orpheum Theater, where it will reopen on the 19th. So just a few days later than that. Then on Sunday, we have one more off-Broadway opening, and that is Bedlam Theatre Company's The Assassination of Julius Caesar as told by William Shakespeare and George Bernard Shaw. And then closing over at MCC will be Jason Robert Brown and Jonathan Mark Sherman's musical The Connector. All right, Grace, this is a really cool feature that Playbill put together, examining the impact of women directors, women writers, and just women in general on this Broadway season. And what they found is that this year is truly historic in terms of the amount of women creatives on Broadway shows. And I know, obviously, that means a ton to you. So just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on all of the information and the data and all the graphs that they put out and see what you thought was the highlights from this really incredible report.
So obviously, we talk a lot about having more non-male voices on Broadway and off-Broadway and things like that. And like, what does that actually mean? Because that could mean any gender marginalized voice, right? We've got 7 new musicals by women. How to Dance in Ohio, Kate Carrigan on The Great Gatsby, Alicia Keys on Hell's Kitchen, Shayna Taub on Suffs, Carson Kritzer for Limpica, technically Melissa Etheridge for her show, Becca Brunsetter and Ingrid Michaelson for The Notebook. And then a lot of them, you know, those are female-led stories. So I appreciate that, right? But if you look at Broadway plays and musicals written by women, starting from the 1950s, you're looking at 111 in the 1950s. That drops to 85 in the 1960s. 67 in the 1970s, and it keeps dropping. The 1980s, you've got 52. It scoops up a little bit to 57 in the 1990s. And then in the 2000s, it kind of plateaus for a while. The 2000s to the 2010s is hanging around 65 on average. I just do think it's interesting that like there is a period where we seem to have started really strong. And then as I guess like more male composers or writers are more prioritized, especially in like after the 70s, we kind of sit in the middle. And I don't know, it's just an interesting statistic of like when work is getting funded. Is it because it's, you know, it's a tried and true person, or are we letting new voices in? I'm not sure, but it is interesting. And I really appreciated this report a lot.
Yeah, there's some other really good information about women directors as well. 16 shows in this Broadway season were either directed or co-directed by women, and that's 16 of 38. So we're not, you know, exactly at half, but it's pretty close. And like I said, some of these are co-directed, you know, speaking of The Notebook, Shelley Williams co-directed.
Right.
Wait, which Michael is that? Michael Greif or Mayer. I can never remember which Michael, but Michael Greif. So like there are still more men involved, but it is certainly an interesting number and hopefully something that continues to increase in the rest of this decade. All right, so let's wrap up the show with a couple feel-good recommendations, and maybe feel-good is not the way to describe this first one, but we have video of Alyssa Allen Lewis and Jason Gotye singing Modest is Hottest from Teeth, so check that out. And then Suffs has released kind of a stripped-down version of the song Keep Marching from the upcoming Broadway show. It is performed by composer and star Shayna Taub. All right, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Hockey.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.